we build such a solid relationship because of the value that we bring to them, gives right. us the opportunity to develop that relationship beyond this particular life change that they're dealing with. And we have that ability, especially as an agent, to be able to add them to our client base, and they can be one of our biggest cheerleaders. So as we start getting deeper into our business and this particular niche as a focus, gives us the opportunity for those referrals. And that is what a lot of people may be coming to All the Leads saying, hey, my business has been built on referrals for quite some time. And now I've got to go out and market to these strange people, and I don't know what I'm doing. Join up with us, because we'll be able to help step you through how you can approach that and ultimately add that additional dimension to your referral business, you know, and you can do 5, 10 transactions on the backs of serving people very well and helping them through this difficult time. And the biggest cheerleaders will be those people that you have helped, even mm-hmm. if it's not related to settling an estate. We are that real estate solutions team, as you mentioned, you know, the real estate resources team. If somebody has something, they know you've got their back and can help them accomplish everything. So that's fantastic.
Well, our focus is really giving back to the community. And we do that now with the solutions team. You know, it's a free service. People love it when real estate agents aren't trying to charge them for something. We're very non-threatening because we're just providing a service. And it dovetails in with the other things that we do. We do twice a week, we do an educational email and a blog post to all of our membership base. And those are always educational. So the one we did yesterday was on the value of solar systems on resale. And here in California, probably all over the state, Fannie doesn't give any value on appraisal for a leased system, for instance. So those are the kinds of education that we reach out with, and we've really found that to be beneficial. Instead of trying to sell something, we're busy educating our clients. And so that's been a really big thing. And the solutions team really dovetails into that nicely. And I wouldn't have known about it had I not invested an hour of my time every week and listened to your podcast. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, I mean, when we talk about the free services, I know that we did have a question come in through our marketing implementation specialist team. And, you know, because of the approach that we teach here at All the Leads is lead with services, lead with that helping hand to bring resources to the table so people can navigate the heavy lifting, you know, the physical aspects of the estate. Now, the question to her was, when does establishing an LLC become imperative, especially when designing a logo that markets, you know, a probate or a home solutions type niche? And I think, you know, we're not going to be able to give, you know, legal and tax advice. And it really depends on your unique business structure and how you're looking to get things set up, you know, that's going to determine when having an LLC is super important for you. And I think the possibility exists that you can go in many different ways, but you've got to make sure that it's structured in a legal and a tax advantaged way for you in your business. Because I think one of the questions really, the second question to that, the second question was, do you charge the personal representative for services if the personal representative is interested that are listed on our letters, even if they are not selling the property or already working with another agent, such as, you know, the lawn care, the estate planning, contractors, et cetera? And it really depends on your specific business model. You do have the possibility you can have your own You can have your own general contracting business. That's definitely an opportunity where you can refer out and you can take on those responsibilities. But each one is going to be very unique for your situation. By all means, you don't need to do it that specific way. It can be set up in a way that you're able to help people and you're able to help those referral partners that you have increase their business. And sometimes, even though they're not going to sell the property, if we make those connections, we make those links, but we continue having them into our database, just as Susan was talking about, you know, sending out those emails or that newsletter. When they do have a real estate need, you have the opportunity to build that relationship over time and they could be a future client. So please don't, yes, we all want right here, right now business, but we do have the opportunity to initiate a relationship. In this particular example, you know, if we're able to help people now, that can pay off later, but the work that it's staying in touch with those folks, providing them valuable information, as an example, what I'm sorry, Sharon was referring to. So,
Chuck, yep. If I back up just a little bit, first of all, we're dealing today from the eye of the storm. It sounds like our recording just got turned on when you're in the middle of. So yeah, if anyone's listening to this online, we're kind of operating from the eye of a hurricane today. So you missed a great first caller who just set up a resources team and was commenting how helpful that's been to her business. And if I could, Sharon, I wanted to add something. This past Monday night, we did our first Coach's Corner call on Clubhouse. If any of you can make that every Tuesday night. At 8 p.m. Eastern, we're doing a Coach's Corner, which is not probate specific. It's a little bit more generic. But we had on that call, one thing that came up this week was one of our people that we were speaking to had a resources team from probate going forward. And they said, it occurred to me that I should start earlier than that. So they went out and contacted nursing homes and care facilities in the area and made them a part of their team, because often people, you know, mom died, we got to put dad to nursing home, we need to sell the real estate, or someone will pass away and the family doesn't know what to do with the real estate. Another case that is really common is the children will get their, you know, one or more parents situated in a care facility, and then they have to sell the property before they can qualify for Medicaid or Medicare. So there's a real opportunity there pre-probate, inheritance of the real estate, to establish a relationship with those care facilities. And you're dealing with someone there who is an administrator. It's their job to keep that place occupied. If they have a vacancy, believe me, they will pick up the phone and call you and say, these people need help getting the real estate, you know, sold so they can come here, or this family needs help now that they're gone, you know, selling the real estate so they can liquidate the estate. So that was just something that came up on the Clubhouse call that I thought was a really good add-on to what Sharon said.
Yep, for sure. So we've got our next hand raised. David, can you go ahead and unmute yourself? Can we allow David to unmute? I can ask him to unmute. Okay, David, can you hear us? Not hearing you. So.
Yeah, I don't believe he's saying anything right now.
Okay.
He's unmuted. So David, if you had stepped away or whatever, you're live and online with us. But you've got.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
There you go. Yeah.
There we go.
Now. Go ahead.
What's going on today, David?
Not much. I had you on the phone call, and I actually downloaded Zoom while on the phone call, and I think that's what was happening. I was still on the phone call.
Okay. So what do you have a question for us today?
Yeah, specifically about contacting probate attorneys.
Okay.
As far as trying to get linked up with them, how would one go about doing that? I'm incredibly new. Like, I literally haven't made a single phone call yet. Me and a partner of mine just got our leads, and we're getting ready to start trying to do this. But I guess I'm just trying to network and, you know, find people to work with. And the probate attorney was one thing that I was interested. I already have two people in mind that I want to contact. One is somebody who his mother works for the company, and I know them, so I don't know the attorney at all, but I am familiar with someone that they work with. But how do you approach those situations? Like, do you call them? Do you email them? Do you stop in? How do you go about that?
Yes. I think that's one of the simple questions is, yes, we want to do all of the above. But let me ask you, let me dig a little bit deeper into that scenario. So you mentioned that a friend of yours' mother works for the law firm that has this attorney in it. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. My first call would be to your friend or to your friend's mother to have that conversation with her to do a little bit of reconnaissance work to understand what the personality of that particular probate attorney is and, you know, what makes them tick. What are they? Are they an outgoing? Are they extroverted? Are they open to, you know, being contacted? Because you do have that. I mean, that to me is my favorite way, is to find people that already have relationships with the attorneys, and we have a mutual connection through that individual, and then we can get a warm introduction from our mutual contact to introduce us to them. And therein lies what is the value proposition that we're bringing to the table for those particular folks. And I think it was,
which I have no value as of right now.
Well, so I think that you have a little bit more value. Are you you're a real estate agent, or are you focused primarily from an investor perspective?
From an investor perspective, but it's actually three of us that are trying to create this, like go at these leagues together. Two of us are more, I guess, proactive with it. The one is a licensed real estate agent who isn't as eager to do this as we are, but he is licensed. So neither of us are real estate agents. We both own separately one rental property. We've done flips in the past, so we have very minimal experience, not none, but very minimal. And one of us is a licensed real estate agent.
Yeah. And I think in that particular case is, you know, if you're looking to help people overcome the obstacles when they're settling an estate, you know, and you, that's one of your primary value propositions on a very general level. I mean, that helps people understand simply what it is. Well, you know, as you're approaching an attorney, it's also important to have a website or a web presence that's there. So you have some of that. You know, they say, okay, well, what's your website so I can send people there when you do have that connection. So being a little prepared is important, but also asking questions. You know, you could come at it from a, you know, we're building this business and we'd like to interview you as an attorney that's working with these specific types of folks. To what are their key struggles? You know, what are the obstacles that they're typically facing? What value can we bring to you related to the physical aspects of the estate? And you can approach it that way. But as far as getting into contact with them, if you have that common contact, having them introduce you gets you around the gatekeeper, right?
Yeah.
So you don't run right into the buzzsaw. Because if you walk in the front door and you talk to the gatekeeper at the front desk, they're going to say, well, he's busy. Can you leave a card and I'll have him reach out? You know, that type of thing. And those typically, once you leave the office, they're going to say, okay, I saved attorney, you know, Jones, if you will, you know, from having this sales pitch, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
They're protecting their time. And I think that to me is my favorite approach, is to find people that have solid relationships that already know, like, and trust me to be able to give me that introduction. Right.
Yeah. That's why I found this one right out the gate. I talked to somebody and I can't remember how it came up, but I basically asked if she knew anybody. Her mom actually worked for him. And I was trying to set that up as far as being put in contact, but they just told me to call in. So I don't know if they actually put in any word for me or not. And then as far as what you were saying, though, as far as creating a website, you know, going at it at two angles. So the first angle, you said, you know somebody and explain the situation. The other angle was like, have, you know, to get some things in a row before you do it. And that's what I was wondering, like, should I wait to contact these people as opposed to like coming off as completely inexperienced and then never speaking to me again? You know what I mean? In the future?
Yeah. I think it's, you know, we don't want to misrepresent ourselves and position ourselves as an expert when, you know, in fact, we don't use that word when it comes to speaking with an attorney, is we don't want to position ourselves as an expert, especially if we're not, because an attorney is going to have that expert level training and background and experience linked to, you know, they have the expertise. So in your particular situation, I would even go as far as investing, you know, an hour of their and investing your money into purchasing an hour of their time for a consultation and go in and position yourself saying, look, we're building this. We see the opportunity and the need in the marketplace to be able to help people overcome these obstacles. And here's what we're hoping to bring to the table. We'd like to interview you and get some information as far as what are some of those biggest challenges. Now, you can also do some of that work by reaching out to your local sphere and, you know, interviewing people that already know, like, and trust you to understand, you know, have they worked in the capacity of dealing with the details, or have they been a personal representative themselves? What were the biggest challenges that you had? Many times people are going to say, well, man, we had to clean out the house. It took us forever. It was so painful. You know, cousin Joey never showed up with the pickup truck on Saturday mornings like he said he was going to, and going through those particular conversations, but then asking them which attorneys that they worked with or helped them with the case, right? That's the other way to continue down that path and get referrals to the attorneys, is find out the ones that were good to work with through people that you already know.
I'm sorry, bud.
Go ahead.
Jim, I'll get to you in a second. It's also possible that when you're doing this, first of all, you need to make sure that you pull the leads that you have into a sortable, pull them into an Excel spreadsheet and sort them. Look at the attorney side of it. See any attorney that pops up multiple times. That's obviously somebody who's handling multiple probates in your market. But Chuck's point about buying an hour of their time, the thing that you need to represent yourself there is that, no, you're not an expert in probate, but your business, you're looking at this business professionally. That's why you're willing to acquire an hour of their time. And what you have to barter also is the fact that you are going to grow this market niche, and you will have opportunity because you're going to become a player in the probate industry. You're going to have an opportunity along the way to refer multiple people to them. So you're bringing something to the game.
And that was my plan, you know, going forward, but how to get my foot in the door. But as far as paying for their time, I think that's perfect. That way they take you seriously without having to have expertise. And I wasn't going to claim that I knew anything. I did not. I was going to go there being completely upfront, but expecting to talk to somebody and wasting their time, it will get you kicked out real quick. But the asking to actually, you know, have a paid consultation, I think that is it right there. I think that's the key.
It shows them that you value their time.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. I like that.
I was going to pretty much say exactly what Tim did, and also add, when you if you're trying to get past the gatekeeper, like we've often told people, pick your top 10, top 12 attorneys in your market and just go visit them. You know, if you don't, you can't buy all of their time and get pretty expensive, but go visit them. And one of the best ways to get past the gatekeeper is, hey, I noticed Mr. Johnson specializes in helping people in probate. So do I. You know, I'm talking to, you know, 50 people a month, and I'm noticing about 20% of them don't have an attorney. And I was just wondering, do you think he would mind if I referred some of those people to him?
Good.
you'll get right in and make it a quid pro quo. Even if you don't have a lot of experience, you know, I'm in the business of helping people that need to sell their homes quickly. And I, you know, if I referred people to you that need an attorney, do you think you could refer some of those people to me that need to sell their home quickly? Yep. And finally, don't hesitate to put a realtor in your team either, because, you know, 70-80% of these are going to end up being listings. You know, establish a partnership with a realtor that you can monetize the leads one way or the other, or you can co-market, you know, or share expenses. You know, a joint relationship with a realtor is always a great idea too. And then you've got another
I'm one of three people that are trying this, and one of them is licensed. So we do have that in the great. Beginning.
Perfect. So. Okay, perfect.
And David, if you want to kind of get maybe a kickstart in their motivation, I would schedule a monthly strategy coaching call, invite them together with you. Let's hop on the phone and I can fire them up for sure. We can get into conversation about how this could be very extremely beneficial for them based on what market we are anticipating to be facing in the months ahead.
Yep. Which is going to change a little bit, but that's for another conversation. But yeah. All right. Who am I speaking to right now? Who is that?
If you go into the training dropdown menu and select the professional real estate coaching page, schedule a monthly strategy coaching call, and you'll get a time in my calendar and we can hop on and dig into that.
And who is this again I'm speaking to?
This is Coach Chuck Sirk.
Yeah. Okay. I think I talked to you when I first signed up not that long ago at all.
Yep.
David, I want to give you one last thing. You'd mentioned about, wanting to look at potentially thinking about what you're doing about a website and all that. And one of the services that we provide, obviously, is that we do create websites for our customers, for those that, want to go do it. And most of our most successful people have the credibility website that we have created for them. And they use that as a landing page. You can point the attorney at that to go see it. And that can get done in no short order. A few days, it's up and running. And
I think I have an assigned person for that. And I actually reached out to them recently and she was immediately responsive. And I just, we're just working on getting something together as far as a name and figuring something out. So like, we're very, very new to this, but we have that in mind as well. So, that's one of the next steps.
Yeah. You're coming at this the right way. You're asking all the right questions and we're here to help you. And Chuck knows his stuff and he's able to give you just about any kind of help that you need. And we've got multiple people now throwing their hands in the air. So I'm going to stop off of this and let's move on. That's great.
Yep. Thank you. I appreciate everything. I think I got the answer I came here for. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, David.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Can Enrique, I believe, is next. Okay. Enrique, are you unmuted?
Hi, sorry. Yeah, this is, I'm just in a room with my team right now. But I did have a question. So when you're using the ATL leads and you're calling them and it shows that the representatives, all those numbers are on the do not call list. I'm not sure if I missed this, but it's okay to call the attorney. And how does that look? How does that conversation go?
Okay, say that one more time, the very last piece of that.
It's okay to contact the attorneys on that file?
Yes. Yes. And we also, on your lead data, it's also going to designate whether or not the attorney's phone number is on the do not call list as well. Because sometimes what I've seen in the lead detail information is that their contact information might be a cell number that is DNC. That's going to be you, your team, your broker's, decision as far as how you handle do not call.
Well, Chuck, the other thing about that is if the attorney is on the do not call list, hop on Google and typically they're not going to have their cell phone on their website and on their online side. So if you see attorney John Jones and the cell phone number that shows up is on the do not call list, go online, look them up and you'll find the published business number for the law firm. And that's not that they're asking you to call that. If it's a published business number, you can call that all day long.
Yep.
Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did answer my question. But the second part of my question was, what is the conversation flow when you do get an attorney on the line? What are the right questions to be asking them?
Yeah, are you approaching it from a relationship building perspective, or are you looking to speak to them directly on that specific file? I think the initial approach is probably a little bit better. If it's the first time that you're reaching out to contact an attorney, what we were just talking about with David to be able to, you know, really say, look, you're focused on helping your clients settle estates. Well, we focus primarily on the physical aspects of the estate. You know, we have, how I position my business is that we have a solutions team in place to be able to help with all aspects. One call can take care of it all, linked to dealing with the stuff, you know, the personal property, the real property, and any other obstacles that are going to come up along the way. So as you're reaching out to an attorney, having that conversation is to really say, hey, we focus on the same market and we're interested in helping people. You know, do you have maybe a time that we can sit down, have coffee or et cetera? You want to meet them face to face to continue building that relationship. You can approach it to say, in case number 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, do they have any interest in selling the house and do they have any needs to help? Because we can help in these particular areas. A lot of that same pitch could be, if you're contacting them on a specific case, would be, you know, the same approach that we teach in our prospecting conversation mastery class on the third week of every month. So are you looking to build the relationship or speak on a specific file?
Or both.
Or both. Yeah.
Or none.
I guess we lost her. But that would work either way. Good advice.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. It wasn't letting me unmute.
Okay. There, we got you now.
Yeah. No, I was just wondering for both. But thank you.
Yep. You're very welcome. And I think, you know, from that standpoint, we want to make sure that we're explaining to them that we offer services. And, you know, if, as Tim was mentioning before, we do come across and we're going to be speaking with personal representatives that may not be represented by an attorney. Do they have the capacity to take on more work at the present time? Because some attorneys are limiting themselves at the present time, but definitely we have the opportunity to present the value, ask them how you could help them. I think it's first come in with the help rather than looking to get, because if you come out with your hand out, that's not going to be the best way to build that relationship.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. I don't have a name, but I can see you on the screen. I'm going to go ahead and ask you to unmute.
Sorry, I'm Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Hi. I just wanted to know if you could go over probates dealing with conservatorship and guardianship, as far as if they start out with a corporation as a PR and if they end up as an individual, or how those leads usually are worked and so forth.
Yeah, that's Jim. Do you want to take this one?
I was going to refer it to Bruce, but he's not here.
Yeah, it's typically Bruce takes the probate technical questions on the mastermind.
Do you have any insight, Tim, or should we have him contact Bruce directly?
Well, I'd ask specifics about the issue. Are you saying that the person who passed is in a conservatorship, or one of the heirs is a little more data?
The court record shows as, some of them show as just your basic probate, and then a lot of them are showing as conservatorship, guardianship, and then a lot of the files. Oh, go ahead.
Sure. What state are you in?
Minnesota.
Okay. You know, unfortunately, I'm going to say the same thing, and I think Bruce would as well, and that is that in a specific state, it's unusual, first of all, that you're going to see a lot of them that way, and that potentially may be either a local market issue or something specific to the state. And I would go back, you know, it seems like this is attorney day, but I would tell you straight up that that is something that you probably ought to check into. Are you working with any of the attorneys? Have you built any of those relationships yet?
Well, coincidentally, one of them I've noticed that keeps showing up is one that I have worked with as far as when I had a car crash. She was my attorney for that. So actually, I could use that as maybe an in to, you know, talk to her.
You bet. And that's exactly where I would send that, is that if you're seeing something consistent that, you know, you got, it's a great question that you're asking us. And I can tell you that Bruce would probably give you the same answer, is that you need to find out what's going on there. And it may be that depending on the circumstances in your state, it is more oftenly done that the entirety of probate is being handled in some sort of a different relationship there. Contact that attorney and say, hey, what's the story here? I'm seeing a lot of them that are PRs, and then a lot of them where there's a conservatorship appointed, and you're one of them. Can you tell me the difference there? And again, if you got to buy some time, go buy some time. But I suspect if they already represented you, you know, they're gonna give you a few minutes of time. If they won't, I'm sure you can find someone who will if you have to buy the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim, that might not be unlike California, where, you know, California has a distinction where they have full or limited authority. And that's pretty much specific to California. It does sound like a Minnesota specific issue. So good way to multitask and, you know, reestablish that existing relationship and get in with an attorney and ask good questions.
Yeah, I just had to create the car crash in order to start that relationship. So it worked out.
I like a man who's committed to his business. That's excellent, bud. Yeah.
Call that commitment.
<That's great. laughs> I had foresight in as far as how it's going to work in the future. Thank you.
But seriously, that's a great, and I also, please come back, you know, have that conversation. Don't put this off. Have that conversation tomorrow if you can get to it, and come back next week and, you know, put your hand in the air and tell us what you found out, because I would really be interested to know about that. If it's a statewide issue, that's something that we should be aware of. And I frankly, you know, the first time this has come up in, as Jim, I think, said 390 something hours and change of this that we've done. First time we've heard of that in a big chunk like that.
Yeah.
So please come back and let us know what you found out.
Yeah, it is. Say like there's a dozen in the county in, you know, currently in the last month or whatever, and probably at least 10 of the 12 were listed as that compared to just listed as probate. And
yeah, definitely worth finding out then. Maybe even just a county specific issue.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just a filing issue. That's the way they file it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll check with her though.
Okay.
All right, man.
Thanks, Jason. All right. We can go ahead and unmute Dan. Dan, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here with you.
Okay, fantastic. How's it going today?
So far, so good. Actually, I've been working on a new probate product. I'm here in Illinois, Northwest Indiana. I compiled a list of questions. So I got five questions.
Okay.
I'll go down the list. I don't know how far we're going to go. How do I get a user ID for my assistant?
Okay, that would be a question one of the easiest ways would be to reach out to our support at alltheleads.com. That would be
I did not get an answer.
Okay, got you. Tim or Jim,
I believe the answer, and Tim can correct me, is you just share your, you know, both of you can access the same ID and the same password. I believe you can just share. Is that correct, Tim?
Prefer not to do that. Prefer to have some type of sub-tier ID for my assistant, so that A, I can change it, B, I can just kind of oversee what they're doing, part of you know, like employee or contractor management.
Yep, I understand. Yeah, I understood your question. And Jim, yeah, I mean, the real answer to that is that, again, and this is just, you know, kind of what we say to everybody about this, is that you're building a team and we encourage collaboration within the team. We don't give, there is no multi-level in terms of how to do this and have granularity in terms of the data and all of that. It's a single sign-on password. and that allows the team to do it. You can certainly monitor what they're doing by what they make in terms of entries in that. And you simply have to encourage a bit of discipline among the team that if they're putting notes on an account record or whatever, just have them put in pound and their name. And that way, when you want to go look, you can search for that. But we don't break it down with multiple passwords and all that. It's not a granular system.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm okay with having parallel passwords on the same account, so that you're dealing with building a team. Yes, you also have virtual assistants that make phone calls and entries in your behalf, and you're definitely not. Sometimes you have to. These are remote assistants. You want to make sure that things are done and you can spot check. So I think that's, yes, I hear that you're telling me use the same user ID. I think it's workable in a very small team where everybody trusts everybody else. But when you're dealing with making sure that things get done, I'm going to ask you guys to kind of implement a sub tier system so that you're able to build larger teams with different levels of responsibility.
I hear you. And here's the thing. So great ask. I appreciate that. And, we typically take on everything based on, the best good for the most people. And we will definitely put it on the list. It's certainly not a bad thing to have if we did it. We try to do all the development work that we do to support the most good for the most people. And right now, one of the things that we're doing is a very complete redesign of the entire CRM system to make it significantly more user-friendly and a whole lot more valuable with a whole lot more depth in it. So it's a good time to ask the question. Not sure it's going to get done in this rev, but definitely put it on the list, and I've made a note. Thank you for asking.
Okay. My second question, how do I skip trace phone numbers and contacts that I cannot reach?
Typically, I mean, for me, it would be going to a skip trace service. I mean, there's Skip Genie, there's Batchly, there's batch skip tracing, those types of things. Tim, I don't know, is that something that we offer as
can
a
you,
service?
Are you talking about leads that you have received from us or from leads you've gathered yourself?
No, it's leads that I received from us. I did the mailing. Some of the letters came back, and now I'm looking to, I either put them in the round file or I just, find out where those people went and try to contact them on the follow-up.
So I want to be sure I understood what you're saying, and I'm going to give you the best answer I can. Are you saying, though, the lead began with leads that all the leads sent to you, you did this, and you still got them back? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I did a mail marketing piece. I sent it to the address of either the PR or sent it to the decedent's address. In case of a decedent's address, obviously, some are going to come back inherently, but let's say if the PR moves, or if there's, let's say, how do I skip trace on those letters? I mean, some of them may be dead enders. I understand that. No pun intended. And some of them may be, the PR might have moved from point A to point B. How do I find the PR?
Okay. So here's the answer to your question from our standpoint. If you got those leads from us in the last 30 days, we will have skip traced that lead in the last 30 days using multiple services. We literally do that. When we get the lead and put it into our system, we start with the personal representative and the personal representative's address, the decedent's last known address, and the contact information for the attorney.
Let me kind of interject. It's not the last 30 days. Let's say you guys kind of talk about a six to eight month campaign. Let's say this is my second or third mailing. First letter didn't come back. So it landed. second letter came back or third letter came back. So it's not about your skip tracing services. It's about letters starting to bounce as more time elapses.
Perfect. Got your question now. That makes great sense. So here's the deal. There are a couple of things you can do. You can do it yourself, or you can ask us to do it for you. And we actually offer a re-lookup. In other words, we'll do it again if you want us to run it through that. If you want to put a list of them together out of a particular subset that you've done and you'd like us to run them, if you want to take that up, just contact your marketing implementation specialist and say, hey, exactly what you just said, what you just mentioned is that you've basically kind of gotten some that have expired. They're coming back now and it's not working. So you want to make sure that you're reaching out to those, and we'll run them through the skip trace again, you know, and that's particularly important if you're doing what we recommend, which is to redo it again at 6 and 12 months. At 6 and 12 months, it's highly likely that, you know, there have been some changes of address and all that. And you should, in essence, I'll put this in quotes, recertify your list. So at some point, if you want us to go run it again, we'll just run it again for you. And I think there's a nominal charge because we have to, you know, we got to pay for it as well, but we'll do it for you.
Well, I understand that. I mean, in this case, let's say out of a mailing of 100 and maybe like 3 or 4, it's not worth for me to, you know, if there's a fixed cost plus per piece, when you're dealing with 3 or 4 per batch, if I'm talking about, you know, 1,000 marketing pieces, and now we're talking about, 50 or 100 piece list that's coming back, yes, it does make sense. But if you're dealing with, you know, piecemeal 3 or 4 or 5 pieces per mailing, and a lot of these counties are, it's maybe a 5 to 7% return, then it doesn't cost on a, it doesn't make sense on a, you know, ongoing basis to keep doing this. Yeah.
I got you. Try Skip Force.
Skip Force?
Yeah, give them a try. And Chuck, what was the other one you mentioned?
BatchSkipTracing.com or Skip Genie. Those are, I mean, then there's Spokio, Bin Verified. There's a number of other places that you can, you know, pay to get skips on individual.
And you're paying, and you're paying one by one. You're not paying for, you know, you're only paying for what you run through. You don't have to like give them a boatload of them to go do. They'll do them on a smaller basis.
Okay. Can I drop you guys an email? You're going to tell me what the services are. I'm too slow for you guys to write down. So and plus I'm gonna probably make syntax errors. Can I let's see.
And send an email to support and we'll do that for you. And if you have a lot of other questions, we're coming up on the end of the call. But if you got one or two more.
Okay. Two more. How do I market to attorneys? And I know that there's an attorney list that I can compile from the leads and send to them. And I also caught the tail end of the attorney dealing with attorney and how to basically get to an attorney through an accident.
We don't recommend that. Yeah, we don't recommend that as a way to get to an attorney. Is don't get yourself in an accident.
Right. Okay. But besides that, let's say probate attorneys get together in a given county a couple times a year, attending their functions, maybe. Any other means?
Yep, you would. I mean, that would be your county's estate planning council. You want to look for that. I spoke with a new subscriber that had been listening to this mastermind just last night in my coaching calls, and they had already done that. And it was, the room was packed with, you know, the folks that they were looking to build relationships with. So definitely look for that.
Okay. Then more of a technical question. In my leads, the lead list, how to set all leads to, there's different equity levels that that when you pull up a lead, it says when you're looking at the interface of lead list, there's third column from the left, which is all leads. And then I say all with real estate equity over 75, 50, 25, and 10. My question is, what parameter sets that and how can I sort using that parameter?
That would be
the populated. Is it populated by your lead sources?
It would be, that would be purchasing our property plus search. So that would be the additional search that's run on the entire list, or you can run it on just a few, but that would be property plus would fill in those columns on your lead detail.
I see. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. That's all I got for today. Thank you so much.
Great questions. Thank you very much. A good way to end it.
All right. Thank you all for being here. I'm glad we got together under difficult times. I'm glad everybody here survived. If you're in Florida, we're thinking of you. We're here. But now that it's passed, let's all get back to work. I want to end the call like I always do. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. I want to particularly thank those that actively participated. And I want to challenge each of you. Take one idea that inspired you on this call, go out and put it into practice, and please come back next Thursday and actually come back next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern if you would like to join our clubhouse call. And then we meet here this time every Thursday. Come on either call and share your results with the group. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.